Well, good morning. Father, we thank you that we can bow in your name. Lord, we know if we are with you, it's a majority, no matter what. Guide us this morning, a great example for us from your word that would come to aid to us sometime in our lifetime, each one of us. And so may we hear from you now as we turn to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where we are going to be talking about, Doug mentioned it, Hezekiah's name. Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings in Judah, probably second only to David, most people think. It says in here that none after him served the Lord the way he did. The question I have today that comes out of this study for me and for you is, how do you handle, what do you do when you have one of the great, or if not the greatest, crises of your life? When the enemy springs on you and all of a sudden it's there's no hope here. This is hopeless. There's just no way out of this. What do you do? Well, too many of us don't do what we should do. And we'll see what we should do as we follow the example here in 2 Kings 19. But one of the things that came to mind was we need to draw near to God. We need to draw close to God at the time of greatest crisis. And too many of us get mad at God and withdraw from him and are, you know, in a huff and a puff, and we try our own strategies and our own methods, but we don't come close to him. And we'll see today how important it is to come close to him. So I was thinking, draw me nearer, precious Lord, or another title to it is, I am thine, O Lord. So the words are on top. A couple of stanzas here. Let's just sing along. This is a Merritt Island praise band. It may not be the easiest to sing with, but it was at least I had trouble finding this hymn. It isn't in many places. So, draw me near, or I am thine, O Lord. Let's sing along. Either sing along or just listen, whichever you prefer.
I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me.
So as we look at 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah has come on the throne in the southern kingdom of Judah, a very troubled time. Assyria has just conquered the northern 10 tribes of Israel. They have moved into Judah and taken the strongholds. They're still fighting at Lachish and Libna, apparently, and now they are approaching the gates of Jerusalem. And so, if you were Hezekiah, and what would you do? I mean, you're in real trouble. It's a small nation, Israel, against the most mighty army in the world at that time. And they have sent word to, through Rabshakeh and through messengers to Jerusalem to surrender, or otherwise we'll do to you what we did to all of the other cities that we have conquered. And that is not a good thing for the people that get conquered. They used to stack up the skulls outside of the city gate after they had killed the people and all. And we begin here in chapter 19, verse 1. And so it was when Hezekiah heard of it that he did what? He tore his clothes, indicating great sorrow, covered himself with sackcloth. Now he's really going into a deep time of sorrow and seeking the Lord in a sense. And what? Went into the house of the Lord. He sent to Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet of, or the son of Amoz. Okay, so the first thing now, when he hears this bad news, he does not doubt the power of God. He does not doubt the wisdom of God. He does not distance himself from God, but he moves to God. He also asks for prayer for the most powerful prayer people that he knows, and that's Isaiah, the prophet. So he goes to Isaiah. Now he's going to pray himself. And we want to cover all the bases when we have a great crisis. Oftentimes, you know, it'll come right down in the very end to just you and the Lord. But as you prepare for to get out of a crisis, as you prepare for maybe a coming crisis or maybe something that's ahead of you, you want to get people praying for you as well as praying directly to the Lord. Now sometimes we go there one way or the other. We ask everybody to pray for us, and we never pray to the Lord ourselves. That's not the right thing. On the other hand, to say, well, I don't want anybody to know about my great crisis, that's probably not, unless the Lord puts that on your heart, that's not the best either. So he sends to Isaiah, and he tells him, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there's no strength left to bring them forth. The picture here is a woman giving labor, and she's absolutely exhausted. She spent her last ounce of energy getting the child to the birth canal, but she has no energy to give birth to the child. So here is Israel. They've been fighting as best they can, but they're down to their last gasp here. Everybody has been destroyed except the city of Jerusalem, and they're threatening to destroy that. So he says that it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the word of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach who? The living God. And will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, Isaiah, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left here. We're just a remnant left in Jerusalem. But lift up your prayer. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, now this is always good. When you get feedback from people praying for you, this is always good. Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard. And the Lord, when you seek him with your whole heart and ask others to seek him, I believe he will always give some word back to you of comfort because you're calling on him, right? It says, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now, this next verse is great. Verse 7, surely I will send a spirit upon him and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land. So one or two I wills from God is worth about a million I wills from the strongest king in the world, right? And here are two of them. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. By the way, there's a map on front there that shows you where Lachish is. If you're not familiar with it, Libna is very near. Well, there was a map. There's not one now because I didn't put it on there. Anyway, Libna is just down the hill from Hebron and Lachish, a little bit southwest of Jerusalem. And that's where the strongholds that I think Solomon had already strengthened those cities. But they're now under the final attack. Then the king of Assyria heard Tirkahah, king of Ethiopia, coming against to make war with you. So he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah. So now he's sending, he can't put the troops up to Jerusalem because he's going down to fight Libya king or the Ethiopian king. But he sends messengers now back to threaten them to surrender. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the kings. And he goes through this routine again. You've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them. And their gods, have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Mesef, and people of Eden who were in Telassar. And if you're worshiping Gozan, Haran, or Resaph, good luck. You have no God. So there's no defense against anybody. He says, where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? And now listen to this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible in a sense. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed. Now, how many letters have you gotten where you laid them down, you spread it out, and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. This looks really serious. It's really bad. I just give it to you. Have you done that? If you haven't, do it. You need to do it rather than just freak out. Oh, woe is me. Oh, no. Give it to the Lord. But this is what he did. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Now, he asked Isaiah to pray for sure. But here he's praying. This is a great prayer. He prayed before the Lord, said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. He certainly got the right address, doesn't he? You are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Does that sound like your prayer when you're in great trouble? Oh, Lord, I'm hurting. Give me. He is really praying. It's great. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. That's not good to reproach the living God. And it's always good to pray for those who are reproaching the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations in their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, and they were not gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Now, if you don't have that prayer, mark it, because that's a good prayer to model your prayer after, because it's got all the essential elements there of a good prayer. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, now listen to this, I love this. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Isn't that awesome? And then he goes on with quite a number of verses here and expounds on that. But it basically comes down to, it's in the Lord's hands now. And notice what happens in verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed. By the way, he said not an arrow will fall into the city. That was prophesied that Assyrians would not have any access into the city. Not even an arrow would come into the city, although they had surrounded it. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained in Nineveh. And Isaiah had said he would be killed back in his own home. Now it came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of his own god, Nisroch, that his sons Adramelech and Sharezer struck him down with a sword, and they escaped in the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So notice now this great crisis that's on the nation of Israel, and particularly on the leader of the nation of Israel, of Judah, King Hezekiah. What did he do? Well, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, went into the house of God. The main thing, he drew close to God. Draw me nearer, draw me closer. He drew near to God. Remember, in any time of trouble, you need to draw near to him, not distance yourself, not fill yourself with questions. I don't understand. I'm mad about this. You know, how could it happen to me? That's not what you need to do. You need to draw near to God. Now, sometimes believers think, well, I'm not going to have any big problems because I'm the Lord's, right? He's going to protect me. Yes, he will protect you, but you're going to have big problems. You live in a fallen world. You haven't been taken out of there. Plus, you get all of the resistance from the evil side against you. So you're really going to have greater problems in a sense than unbelievers, or greater problems than you had as an unbeliever, because you're going to have the impact of the evil one against you as well. And that's when the evil one likes to jump all over you when these trials and so forth come. So all too often people distance themselves from God when they should be drawing themselves to God. And we see a very happy ending in this situation, because Hezekiah does not abandon his relationship, his history with God, but he's, Pastor Chuck would say, cling to what you know, not what you don't know. You know God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you know he'll see you through. There will be great crises in our lives here in this earth. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, I don't know how many of you are facing a crisis right now. Maybe none of you. Maybe you have. I remember a couple of weeks ago today, I was in a mini crisis anyway. For the moment, it was probably the worst one I've ever had, in a sense. And yet I look back, it was such a blessing because the Lord was so faithful. And I know I had a lot of people praying, and that was always good. They may have been still praying for the first surgery. It didn't matter. They were praying for me anyway, so that was good. And then they were praying for me after I got out of the hospital, because they heard I was back in the hospital the third time. But it's okay. As long as they pray, that's great. The Lord can sort it out. So remember to draw near to God. As James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then turn to other people in prayer. As I mentioned in Galatians 6:2, we're told, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. We're told also in James that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then we want to hear and recognize the response that comes back from God, the I wills. The I wills. Didn't he say, I will never leave you nor forsake you? You should have a number of I wills right at the fingertips, so in the great crisis you don't have to, oh, if I could just find my Bible, I could find it. Get it in your heart so you know it, right? And really, that's all we need to hear, that God will take care of us. When we heard that, back off of your concern and anxiety. It's in God's hands. You can't get better off than that, okay? Father, we thank you that today we can pray. We can pray for those things. And Lord, we are not as the lost world without hope. We have our hope in you. And so as we look at the darkness around us rather than despair, we should look at the darkness around us and pray against those who are caught up in it and pray for them, their souls, their salvation. We need to pray for the church to be a bright light. We need to pray for the righteousness to begin in the house of God, for the righteousness to begin in each of us, Lord, as members of the body of Christ. And so lead us now as we have these precious moments to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God reigns. Join in on the chorus. The verse is a little bit hard to follow.
On the mountains are the feet who brings good news. Good news. Announcing peace. Proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He's alive. Oh yeah, he's alive. God loves us so. See, hear his hands, as feet, as sigh. Yes, we know.
Lord, you do reign. Help us to be that salt and light of victorious servants of yours as you reign over the universe, and you always will, always have. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with your people and to pray. Thank you for this glorious season that we're in, that we remember when you came here as a man. Lord, help us to draw near to you, and Lord, this great example today with Hezekiah in knowing what to do with great crisis in your life and how to handle it and who to turn to and to draw near to you. Help us to learn from that, because we will have crises in our lives and we want to know what to do, and that we could have the outcome that Hezekiah saw you give him. When you say, I will, and I will, and you will say, I will, I know. I will never leave you nor forsake you, among other things. So, Lord, bless each one as we go now, and may we go in victory, Lord. You do reign, and we've got the good news, the only good news. And it just keeps getting better and better compared to the darkness of the world, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.